So today we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the last two verses in chapter 12, which is entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. So text 35 and 36. Yeah, text 35 is on the board, so that's what we're going to chant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhishthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthira to look into the supervision of the performances of Yajna, and the Lord, to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, caused the performance of Yajnas by learned twice-born brahmanas. Simply taking birth in the family of a brahmana does not make one qualified to perform yajnas. One must be twice born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya. The once born scions of brahmana families are equal with the once born shudras, and such brahmana bandhus and such brahma bandhus or unqualified once born scions must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Shri Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he is, he caused the yajnas to be performed by the bona fide twice-born brahmanas for successful execution. The verse again. Ahuto Bhagavan Ragya Yagyaitva Dvajjaram Nripam Utas Uvasa Katichin Masan Sukhridam Priyakamyaya. Lord Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhishthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. So this verse is at the end of the chapter. And previously we learned that Maharaj Yudhishthira felt that there was a lot of sinful reactions upon him because of the battle of Kurukshetra. So many people got killed there. So he felt that there needs to be some kind of purification and atonement. So the Rajasuya Yajna was performed. And for that Rajasuya Yajna, he wanted to make sure that the outcome will be successful, and therefore he wanted Krishna to be in charge of supervising the activities during the sacrifice. So Lord Shri Krishna, we can go through the purport and say how we understand different ideas that Prabhupada gives. Lord Shri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthira to look into the supervision of the performance of Yajna. So, in the purport, Prabhupada starts by explaining how although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he abides by the orders of his elderly cousin. So the Supreme Lord is completely independent, and we are all his subordinates. But due to his feeling of love and being captured by the love of his devotees, he sometimes agrees to become their subordinate. And there's many different examples like that. A few that come to mind is, one is Arjuna. He became the Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna, his cousin brother. And also Krishna likes to be handled in that way, loving, affectionate way, by his mother also, you know, the Damodar pastime, when Krishna got bound by Mother Yashoda. It was only by his grace, his mercy, that Mother Yashoda could do that. But Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that the Lord cannot be captured by anyone, especially when Mother Yashoda was running after Krishna, trying to catch him. So he can only be caught if he allows himself to be caught. And he only allows himself to be caught by his pure devotees. So this is a very important point that we need to understand, that if we want to receive the Lord's mercy, we can only cause his mercy by pure devotion. So Krishna becomes drawn to us if we... It's said actually that he becomes purchased by that pure love. So here, in the same way, Maharaj Yudhishthira, being the emperor, he requested Krishna, and here Prabhupada says that Krishna because Krishna wanted to abide by his orders. No one can order the Supreme Lord, but of course this is the amazing exchange of love between Krishna and his devotees. So then, Prabhupada says, then to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, Krishna caused the performance of yagyas by learned brahmanas. Well, when I read this, caused the performance of yagyas, I understand that it's not that Krishna did the yagyas himself, but he enlisted some or engaged some brahmanas, qualified brahmanas. Here the key word here is twice born brahmanas, and also learned. So Krishna made sure that he engages the most qualified brahmanas, and Prabhupada here describes what are the qualifications of twice born brahmanas. First, they have to be learned. And second, they need to be twice born. So what does twice born mean? The first birth is the birth that we receive from the mother. But that's not a sufficient qualification for someone to be able to perform yagyas. And Prabhupada will explain that later on. So he wanted to make sure that the brahmanas were properly trained and initiated, and also that they were learned. So he explains further that simply taking birth in the family of a Brahmana does not make one qualified to perform yagyas. This is a very important point to understand. And in our Vaishnava tradition, there were extensive debates and even fights between the smart Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, especially during the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, because he introduced giving initiation, Brahminiko initiation, to people who were not born in Brahmana families. At that time, the caste system was very prominent. It's still prominent, but at that time especially. And he established, by the teachings of the previous acharyas, that actually the qualification to become twice born is not only reserved for those who are born in Brahmin families. And then simply by taking birth in a family of a Brahmanas does not make one qualified as a proper Brahmana. So Prabhupada then further explains how does one become qualified. One must be twice born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya. So there's three things that we Prabhupada lists here. One is the being twice born is a process, as we said, when one receives initiation, and there must be proper training. So first of all, initiation itself is not enough. The Vaishnavas also, before they receive their first initiation and second initiation, they undergo some training. So the qualification to become a twice born must be preceded by the proper training. So after one receives training, and the training is comprises of two things. One is to learn the Vedas or the teachings of the previous acharyas, and then to be able to apply those teachings. So just knowledge, theoretical knowledge, is not enough. One also needs to become properly situated in following those instructions that they learn. And then can one be initiated as a Brahmana and become eligible to perform Vedic, perform yagyas. So here the initiation, also Prabhupada qualifies what type of initiation one needs to receive. The initiation must be from a bona fide spiritual master, acharya. So acharya, we know there's many acharyas, not so many, but the most prominent acharyas that we know in our line, we have quite a few. And also, speaking about different sampradayas, each sampradaya has an acharya, like Sri Sampradaya is Ramanujacharya, our sampradaya is Madhvacharya. These are the founders of the sampradayas. And does that mean that one has to receive initiation from a bona fide acharya, does it have to be from the founder of the Sampradaya? Well, the Guru Parampara has to go on. That means that acharyas appear and they establish Sampradayas, but then they also train in their turn, they train their disciples who also are expected to become acharyas. And acharya, in essence, means one who teaches by example, or one who is the perfect example of the teachings that he imparts. So that means that every bona fide spiritual master in the line of authoritative acharyas, bona fide acharyas, they also become acharyas. They are expected to become acharyas. Otherwise, they cannot become spiritual masters. So these are the three prerequisites for someone to be accepted as twice born. They must be properly trained, receive initiation, but not from anyone, but from a bona fide spiritual master in authorized sampradaya. And then Prabhupada continues that the ones born scions of brahmanas, Brahman families, are equal with the ones born shudras. So the fact that he continues on this topic, that simply being born in a Brahman family is not a qualification in itself. One who is born in a Brahman family is equal to someone who is born in a Shudra. And what does that mean? That means that before one receives the training and initiation, he has no special qualification. And the real qualification or the stamp of the real qualification comes when one receives transcendental knowledge and becomes initiated in properly by a bona fide spiritual master, acharya. Of course, being born in a Brahman family is a special privilege, and it gives one, you could say that it gives one a kickstart, because one is expected to be associating from his very birth with qualified brahmanas. And also, yeah, it's very good. It's a very good beginning to be born in a Brahman family. But even if someone is born in a low, if one has a low birth, he still can become transformed. And Prabhupada speaks extensively on this subject in his teachings, in his lectures. So, especially in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada explains that in Kali Yuga, everyone is born as a Shudra. So, it doesn't matter that one is born as a Brahmana. And there's many unqualified people who pass themselves as Brahmanas just because they were born in families of Brahmanas. But we have to be careful to distinguish a real Brahmana. And real Brahmana is known by his qualities and his work. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there's specific qualities that someone needs to possess. And there's interestingly in he describes the qualities, there's nine qualities that a Brahmana should possess, starting with truthfulness, cleanliness, simplicity, and all these things. knowledge of the scriptures. So these are the qualities that the Brahmanas have. The Kshatriyas have seven qualities, which are different. And then the Vaishyas have three qualities, and the Shudras only one quality. They have to be subordinate to the higher classes. So Prabhupada explains that a Brahmana needs to have those qualities, and then he can be considered and perform the activities of Brahmanas. And the most important activity that a Brahmana performs is he studies the scriptures in order to understand Brahman, the absolute truth. So when one becomes properly qualified, understands the spiritual science, then he is considered a genuine and qualified Brahmana. And that's the most important thing. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that it is not it's not accepted by the Vaishnavas that only those who are born in Brahmin families can be accepted as bona fide Brahmanas. Because through the process of Pancharatrik initiation, they can come to that stage of being qualified, and they can realize the absolute truth. So then Prabhupada continues. That the the ones born scions of Brahmanas families are equal with the ones born Shudras, and such Brahma Bandhus, or unqualified ones born scions, must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. That means that that's why Krishna wanted to make sure that those who were engaged in the sacrificial performances were properly trained, because they needed to be qualified in order for the successful completion of the yagya. And Krishna did want Maharaj Yudhishthira to be successful in his Rajasuya sacrifice. So therefore he made sure that he got the most qualified Brahmanas. And Prabhupada also stressed that in the beginning of the ISKCON movement, he wanted the most qualified people to, for example, the most qualified people to prepare prasadam. Because the consciousness of the devotees is transferred. We know that when we accept food which is prepared by non-devotees, we accept their karma. So the consciousness of those who prepare the food has to be very elevated. And that applies to any activity. The most qualified people are chosen to perform any activities. The best, most suitable person should be chosen, for example, to be the temple president, the leader of the community, etc., etc. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jaya. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai ki jaya. So this is a very important principle. And then, yeah. So this basically is, in essence, what Prabhupada's teaching in this purport. And then the next verse, I read the translation. O Shaunaka, that's the last one from this chapter. O Shaunaka, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhishthira, Draupadi and other relatives, started for the city of Dwaraka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Yadu dynasty. So this is the last verse. There's no purport to it, but it, what's very important to note is that in Vedic culture, people put a lot of stress on hospitality, and part of the hospitality is to see off your guests in a proper way. I sometimes caught myself actually having guests, and guests are leaving, and I just sit in my couch, and my wife is the only one who sees them off the door. At least we should see the guests at the door, because it's otherwise it's not very good. And I have friends. I don't want to mention the name because they might be embarrassed, but I have friends who, whenever we go to their place for prasadam or just for sangha, they always come out of the house, and they would at least come to the door. But generally, one of them always comes out of the house, and they always give us something. They don't leave us with empty hands. So this is very important. And here, the family of the Pandavas, they were so hospitable that they traveled with Krishna a distance, and I think Arjuna went along with Krishna to Dwaraka. So like that, this is important. Today is also the disappearance day of Sri Ishwarapuri, and I've been asked to say a few words. There's not much time left, but it is very important for us to properly honor the previous acharyas and study their lives, because that will allow us to become properly situated in our Guru Parampara, in the teachings of our previous acharyas. So we should pray and remember today the example of Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri comes in the line of Madhvacharya. He is a direct disciple of Madhavendrapuri, who is said to be the first prominent acharya who exhibited mood of separation from Krishna and who worshipped Krishna in that mood. So that mood was then transferred to Ishwarapuri, and Lord Chaitanya decided to take initiation from Ishwarapuri. So we know that Ishwarapuri, generally people understand that Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya met Ishwarapuri in Gaya, and that's when he received his initiation, during the time when he was performing Shraddha for his father. But actually, it's explained that in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, that after the disappearance of Madhavendrapuri, who was looked after by Ishwarapuri in a wonderful way, in a very exemplary way, it is said that Madhavendrapuri taught the world with his two disciples. One is Ishwarapuri and the other is what's his name? Ramachandrapuri. So the two disciples taught us how to worship the spiritual master and serve the spiritual master, and the other gave us an example how not to how not to be a disciple of the spiritual master. And he eventually, we know that Ramachandra Puri, because he wasn't properly serving his spiritual master, he was very critical, actually, and every Vaishnava used to later on avoid his association. And he went on with his criticism so far that he even criticized Lord Chaitanya. And Ishwara Puri was the opposite. He was the one who looked after Madhavendra Puri at the final days when he was invalid and he could not take care of himself. So Ishwara Puri was physically taking care of all his needs. And not only that, but he was taking care, he was making sure that he was reminding his spiritual master by reciting various verses which actually were in tune with his mood of separation from Krishna. And therefore he got the blessings of Madhavendra Puri. Ishwara Puri got the blessings, and he later on was chosen by Lord Chaitanya as a spiritual master. So Ishwara Puri, the first meeting he had with Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip after his spiritual master left this world. He started traveling around the different tirthas, holy places, and he came to Navadvip, and he stayed in the house of Gopinath Acharya. So he stayed for a month in that house and was, you know, was moving around Navadvip, and he met Lord Chaitanya and was very much attracted by his qualities, by his appearance. And he even was a guest in the house of Mother Sachi. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was already exhibiting his pastimes as a learned pandit, and he had his own disciples. So Ishwara Puri went into the house of Lord Chaitanya during his pastimes as a pandit. And later on, when Lord Chaitanya met him in Gaya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very ecstatic. He felt great ecstasy and was imbued with the love of Krishna. I mean, he started exhibiting his love of Krishna in a more prominent way. And Ishwara Puri, so that was the mark of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan pastimes after he received initiation from Ishwara Puri, proper initiation. Lord Chaitanya requested him to give him the Brahma Gayatri mantra, and he imbued that same mood of feeling separation from Krishna that he received from Madhavendra Puri. This is just a summary of Lord of Ishwara Puri's life and pastimes. If anyone wants to add something to those, anything one is especially inspired by, and if anyone, or maybe one, someone wants to make a comment or ask a question regarding what we spoke on the verse. Mm-hmm.